broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And we absolutely revere and appreciate the checks and balances in our system, wisely put in place by the founding fathers. It is still one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. The checks and balances, baby. Also, I want you to know we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We are syndicated by the Loving Liberty Radio Network, lovingliberty.net, and by Liberty News Radio. So we got two radio networks, several radio stations across the country, live and on demand worldwide on the internet, and more. lovingliberty.net. You can download the Android or the iPhone apps there and listen to your heart's content. You can listen on unlimited listen lines. You can listen online, live and on demand. There's just so many ways to listen to the broadcast these days. It's amazing. All right, Andy Mangione with us. He's vice president of the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC, AMAC.us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
You are very welcome. I'm looking at the headlines on AMAC.us, and man, you guys keep up on the news very well. A great trusted source. The first headline says, "We are AMAC, the alternative choice for America's seniors." When I called into your phone lines, it said, "Hey, we're one of the fastest growing conservative organizations ever." And man, your membership is growing by leaps and bounds, especially as people are locked down from the coronavirus and they're looking for truth, looking for news, looking for guidance, looking for benefit packages, looking for friendship and associations. And man, you've got it all, Andy.
Well, you know, we try, Sam. We've been very, very blessed during this time. We've been adding about, it averages between 4,000 and sometimes as many as 6,000 new members each week. And more important, about 3,000 to 4,000 members are renewing their memberships with AMAC every week. So when people join AMAC, they stick around. And I'd have to agree with you. People are looking for some common sense. People are looking for some sanity. They want to be with like-minded people. And we're committed. We're committed to securing a future that holds fast to our nation's moral compass, that honors our veterans and offers solutions. And that's the key. When I go to Washington, whenever it reopens, but my past trips to Washington, we do not walk into a congressional office or the administration hat in hand. We go in there with solutions. We go in there with free market-based solutions to the problems that are facing America. And that's how we wanted to differentiate ourselves from other senior groups. We're not going to go in there and cry and whine. We want to go in there and point out the problem and offer solutions. And I think people, that resonates with people. And I think that's one of the reasons they join AMAC. I mean, if you look at our business model, it's identical to the other group. You know, we're a member benefits organization. You can get all kinds of member benefits, all kinds of insurance products, Medicare products, under 65 products, roadside assistance, travel discounts. We have that. And we're constantly tweaking those benefits. But what really differentiates ourselves is the advocacy that we do on behalf of our members. And I think that really resonates with people and they can identify with that. I mean, you know, we're fighting for our constitutional rights. We view the Constitution as one of the greatest documents ever created by mankind. And we hold reverent the rights that are contained within it. And we fight for those rights.
All right. There's a couple of headlines I want to get to. A lot of them are about Trump, but justly so right now. Headline says, "Trump understands America, balancing reopening with COVID." I think that's a brilliant headline highlighting, you know what, there is a fine line to walk, right?
Absolutely. And that was written by Bobby Charles. Bobby's one of our wonderful, wonderful contributors to all AMAC media. But you can see what's going on here. There's a battle going on between reopening, between opening schools, between classifying cases versus deaths in the COVID-19 pandemic. And the media is there's, you know, there's nothing more than a full out assault on this president and has been. It's been ramped up as of late, you know, this year with the just think of what the country's been through, Sam. Baseless Russia claims, the connections of the Trump administration to Russia, to a completely partisan impeachment process, a pandemic that has wounded the economy that's starting now to come back. All right, so I mean, the country's been through a lot, and the American citizens have been through a lot. The media continue to paint President Trump, who's managing all this, as ignorant about COVID-19. He realizes that America's got to get back to work, but you know, the bottom line is, the president is a pretty smart guy. He realizes that we cannot shut down permanently, but he needs, and he's also, he's also taking precautions. All right, he's assembled a team. He's got Vice President Pence in charge of the coronavirus task force, and their efforts have led to the United States leading the world in testing. We're testing hundreds of thousands of people. Okay,
They've taken the tests that used to take days, and now they've got what, 15-minute test machines?
There's rapid testing. You know, the president has introduced Operation Warp Speed, which is fast tracking treatments as well as vaccines. Human trials are currently going on with vaccines. So, I mean, to paint them as ignorant is simply, you know, unfair and not true. But you know, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it because they're not going to lighten up on this president. But he's relied on medical experts, not necessarily, you know, politically based, you know, people with their own political agenda, for assessments to treat and get beyond the acute phase of the pandemic, and we're there.
Now, here's the interesting thing about some of these medical experts. Fauci, I don't have a like for. I think he's dishonest. I think he goes against the administration. I think he's got his own agenda. But the headline from AMAC.us says this: July 9th, coronavirus update for the Trump administration. And primarily one of the keys to the update is we are opening the society. Yep. We need to open schools, and we need to do it now. And yes, we need to balance that with caution, but yet we're not going to have a mandated mask policy. And then he went on to say, believe it or not, the death rate is going down big time. Yeah, there might be more cases, but less people are dying from the corona.
Well, yes.
And I think that's a real important point. Not only did President Trump double down on that point, but Mike Pence chimed in too.
Right. Right, exactly right, and consider this: the death rate is definitely falling to the point where the CDC may consider reclassifying this. I mean, they're questioning. You know, once deaths fall below a certain point, it's no longer an endemic. Okay,
that's right.
So keep your eyes on.
All right, so let me give you what Fauci did and said about it. I think that less death, or the death rate going down, is something to be celebrated. It's something to be grateful for. It's something to acknowledge. It's something to say, hey, you know what? We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. People need some good news right now. Now, I agree that it's not time to just ignore all cautionary measures. But at the same time, we can't not celebrate or can't not be grateful. So here's the exchange via the Salem Radio News about this. Listen to this.
As coronavirus cases increase, the White House emphasizing a big decrease in the COVID-19 mortality rate in the U.S.
President Trump has tweeted that the U.S. has the lowest coronavirus mortality rate in the world. And Vice President Pence is also emphasizing the decreasing death rate.
Literally, we have seen fatalities decline by 90%. From some of the worst moments of this pandemic.
Now, that's phenomenal news, in my opinion. It doesn't mean we let down our guard, but it does mean we acknowledge it. Now, here's Anthony Fauci. Here's Dr. Fauci. Listen to what he says.
However, during a Tuesday news conference, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, cautioned that it's a false narrative to take comfort in a lower rate of death.
Andy, has he lost his mind? It's a false narrative to take comfort in this idea that we have less death? Is he crazy?
What physician would not take that as good news?
I mean, I just don't get it. I don't understand why he would say that. Does he just hate President Trump or what? There's just no logical rationale. Now, I get if he said, hey, guys, this is wonderful news, but do not let down your guard. The reason we've got this far is because we've been really careful to date. Please be vigilant. But this is wonderful news. I get that statement. But I don't get It's a false narrative to be comforted right. by less death. Are you off your rocker?
That is quite a statement made by the good doctor. I'm familiar with it, and it confounds me as well as it does you, Sam.
And I'm not trying to be a contrarian, but I am saying the nation needs good news right now, sir. The nation needs yep. a light at the end of this tunnel and some hope, for crying out loud, and I intend to bring it to them.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. This is, you know, when you know, we've heard comments when you go to our website at amac.us and the information we put up there, that's specific to the coronavirus. We hear comments consistently that people are reading information there that they can't get anywhere else or they don't see anywhere else. And look, if there's good news, we're going to put it up there. Okay. You know, I mean, if you look at it, you know, when people are talking about the increase in cases, all right, well, we've conducted 39 million tests and thousands of new tests are being done every day. Of course, we're going to find out people that have been exposed to this virus. All right. And you see that the emphasis in the media shifted away from deaths, which are going down, regardless of how Dr. Fauci wants to characterize that declining number, focused away from those, the media's focused away from those deaths and is now zeroing in on exposure.
All right, now Andy Mangione with me, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. We'll be right back. But what I would say to Fauci, too, this is the guy that said we're going to have well over 2 million deaths. We're at 130,000, and now we're taking comfort that it's less. His predictions were crazy wrong, but now he says don't even take comfort in that. And now the mainstream press highlighting how many cases we have. Well, even out of 40 million tests, we only have 3 million. Hold on.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Andy Mangione, AMAC.us, riding shotgun with me today. We're talking about the coronavirus cases. Why are they not talking about the deaths now? Answer is because they're going down. Fauci says don't take comfort in that. That's a false narrative. I think he's off his rocker. We need to be vigilant, folks, for sure. But I'm going to take comfort in any less loss of life or any opportunity for folks to come out of it rather than die. I'm going to take comfort and be grateful for that. Yes, I'm going to be vigilant, but I'm going to be saying this is wonderful news and we see a light at the end of the tunnel. In the United States, believe it or not, there's been about 40 million tests. There's only been about 3 million people that have even tested positive, and only 132,000 people have died total. Now, you know what? Those numbers are tiny compared to the propaganda being peddled about this, Andy.
Right, right.
Now, I'm not dismissing the 132,000 people that have died. Their lives matter. But it's a tiny fraction compared to what we were led to believe, first of all. And now right. Fauci can't accept the fact that there's good news.
You know, I really want to know what the motivation is behind his statements, and we'll never know unless there's somebody writing a book, you know, other than him about this whole, you know, when we're through this this experience. And you're right, Sam, any loss of life is tragic. It is. We don't want to downplay that. But what we need now and what we've always needed throughout this entire experience has been perspective. And we're starting to get it, and it's being downplayed. But people's hidden agendas are also coming to the fore. They're not so hidden anymore, particularly with regard to reopening the country and now shifting to the 2020-2021 school year and opening up the classrooms. So you're going to see another battle over that.
All right, now here's what I find interesting as well. In Utah, so it's a 3.5 million population state, okay? It's where I live is why I bring it up. But they've done, I don't even know how many tests now. But there's 26,000 people that have tested positive, and there's only 201 deaths. Now, again, those 201 lives do matter. However, most of them were elderly people in facilities with other underlying conditions. Now, that doesn't make their life any less important, folks.
Right.
But it does make you start to question the hype, the fear-mongering, the hysteria, and then the taking that to the next level where bureaucrats and government officials literally violate the Constitution and violate their oaths of office and control us and lock us down and manipulate us to where you start to believe, you know what, I'm not a conspiracy guy in every sense. But I do know there's been conspiracies in the past, and you start to say, you know what? Their actions are starting to become a conspiracy against the people with this as their cover. That doesn't minimize that the coronavirus is real, and it doesn't minimize that we need to be vigilant, but it does acknowledge that something is going on here different than we're being, we're not being leveled with transparently. Let's say it that way, Andy.
Well, perspective is missing. Like I said, you're seeing politicization of a health crisis. Okay, you've got the president doing the constitutional thing and allowing or deferring to governors in individual states to manage those states and to manage this crisis in their respective states. And you can't help but wonder and ask yourself the question: are these governors thinking that there's a political advantage, and that political advantage is damaging the president and his reelection chances by generating hysteria, by draconian rules, by mandating in some states that COVID-19 contagious patients be discharged from hospitals into nursing homes? All right, is there a political advantage here? You have to ask yourself that question. And is that political advantage to damage the president and his reelection chances? You know, I mean, it's something's going on here. All right. And people are beginning to ask those questions.
So if I want to go to church or I want to go to a Trump rally, oh, no, I'm going to kill everybody if I do. On the other hand, if I want to go to a riot and destroy property and harm people and just escalate violence and hostily attack the establishment or the police officers or, they're running mayors out on rails and they're doing all these different things. If I want to do that, then they're literally having these experts say that's encouraged and not part of the problem at all. They've literally become so desperate that their narrative is out in the open to where any logically thinking individual would go, wait a minute, there's something different here. That doesn't make any sense, right?
Right. And tell me, Sam, people have to be asking themselves that question. All right. Or not only this, but many questions, including what you just stated. Okay. The reading, you know, this is right. This COVID-19 virus must be very smart because it knows where to attack. It won't attack a mob, but it might attack a rally. It won't attack people in Walmart, but it might attack people in church. It might not attack people who are talking, but it might attack people who are singing and praying out loud in a church. Okay, so it defies any type of sensibility here, and I think people are in their homes, in their communities, are having the same discussions you and I are having on this great radio network.
All right. Now, this is interesting, too. I'm going to compare two states. They're both, you know, not the big urban centers or whatever you want to call it. One's Utah, one's Missouri. Now, Missouri's probably double the population or more than Utah. But both of them have around 25,000, 26,000 cases in Utah. Missouri has 25,000. So they're almost identical in terms of the cases. I don't know if the testing is identical, but the cases are almost identical. But Utah only has 201 deaths. Missouri has over 1,000 deaths, 1,069. I think we're starting to get evidence where we kind of need to ask ourselves the question, why is there five times the deaths in Missouri as there is in Utah? Now take Arkansas, a third state. They have 25,200 cases, 305 deaths. Why are they in the middle? Nevada, 24,000 some odd. They have 553 deaths. What makes Utah on the low end, Missouri on the high end, and these other states in between? Nebraska, 20,000. It's not quite as many, but it's interesting. 284 deaths. Kentucky, 17,000. But they have 608 deaths. Okay, I don't mean to go on forever at every state, but I'm making the question, why? What's the difference? Is there that many more elderly people with underlying conditions? Are the people dying in facilities where we really need to relax on the people and let them get back to life, but we need to really figure out what's happening in these facilities to protect people and to increase the likelihood of them being able to power through this and live? There's a lot of questions from this data that I don't really see others asking.
Right, right. But the questions are coming, okay? These questions are, it's funny because we're looking at nursing home data in particular, okay? And we're looking at the guidelines that were set forth before the lockdown and how some governors ignored them, okay? You're scratching your head here, but what is somewhat upsetting, you know, for lack of a better word, is you just went through all of that data, and you've got these chief executives in these states reacting to this data. Now, they do have, you know, their individual departments of health, but the reaction and the mandates or the policies that are resulting, they vary wildly, but they vary from state to state. Okay, look at South Dakota, for example. I don't believe that Governor Kristi Noem shut down at all. Okay, and you're looking at, you know, as compared to other states with draconian measures, and you're still seeing an increase in cases. But Sam, when we talk about the increase in cases, it's a result of a pandemic or a virus that's been around since October, working its way through a population. I'm speculating here because I know, admittedly, I will tell people I did not go to medical school, but the virus has been around since October, working its way through a population. Our reaction to it, there's other community actions that have affected, you know, how this virus has been spread and contained in some areas. But you want people to act rationally. You want people to act with information. We do have more data now that we didn't have in February. We didn't have in March. We didn't have in April. And I think people want that data that we do have now to be incorporated into decisions on a state level moving forward. And in some cases, we're not seeing that happen.
Now, check this out. North Carolina has about 77,000 cases, only about 1,400 deaths, whereas Michigan has a little bit less, 74,000, so 3,000 less cases, but they've got 6,200 deaths, so six times with less cases. How? Why?
Well, you know what? You bring up Michigan, and if you could just give me a minute here.
Okay, let's take a pause. We'll give you a minute right after the break. Don't forget Michigan, ladies and gentlemen. Andy's going to make a point. Then I want to move on from this to several other topics. There's a lot of other good news going on you got to know about, folks. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Sam Bushman on your radio. Andy Mangione, AMAC.us, AMAC.us. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The U.S. Labor Department just releasing its weekly jobless claims report. Initial claims totaled 1.3 million last week. That was 99,000 fewer than the week before. The number of new claims keeps going down, but continuing claims are totaling still over 18 million. States with the biggest increase in first-time claims last week included Michigan, Indiana, and Texas. The biggest declines were in Oklahoma, Florida, and Maryland. Newly released transcripts show George Floyd told Minneapolis police officers he couldn't breathe more than 20 times before he died. The documents from the department's body cam footage confirming Floyd's interactions with officers when one of the officers, who now faces a murder charge, knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature changing the world, one life at a time.
Once you start taking it, if you stop, you realize how much it was helping you, because all those pains and stuff start coming back.
I've always felt very tired, and I just don't have any energy, and that's all changed. I can't remember the last time I felt as good as I do now.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
While you have free time and you're sitting at home and you ponder what kind of gifts to buy for someone, PatriotDepot.com has you covered, from puzzles, games, novelty items. If you're looking for some unique style items when it comes to the president, for more, you can check out PatriotDepot.com. Call 844-377-8052. That's 844-377-8052 or PatriotDepot.com. Use promo code USA.
U.S. Attorney General William Barr acknowledging that African Americans do get unfair treatment from many police agencies. Barr gave an exclusive interview to ABC News this week and said communities of color are often policed differently from white communities. The AG saying, quote, "I think it's something that we definitely must address." President Trump says the U.S. and Mexico share the same values. During a visit to the White House yesterday by the Mexican president, the two released a joint statement concerning the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. President Trump saying,
"Mr. President, I'm certain that together we can unlock a future of even greater potential for our children, prosperity for our people, safety for our citizens, and pride for our countries."
The new trade deal replaces the NAFTA agreement between the three nations, which President Trump has repeatedly called a bad deal. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, Andy Mangione with me, ladies and gentlemen, AMAC.us. We're talking about the situation in Michigan, where they got a lot more deaths per cases, and you got to wonder why. And Andy was starting to say Michigan, and then the break came. So, Andy?
Well, you know, Sam, I just wanted to mention that Governor Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan did have a mandate that forced COVID-19 contagious patients who were being discharged from hospitals to be admitted to nursing homes. This is in spite of federal guidelines that clearly said not to do this, and clearly set up guidelines and recommendations and for nursing homes on how to handle these types of patients. And you can see a disproportionately higher number of deaths in nursing homes in Michigan as compared with other states.
And the same thing happened in New York, and they've got the highest numbers in the country, right?
New York, Pennsylvania, California, Michigan, and New Jersey. All of these governors ignored federal guidelines and had COVID-19 contagious patients discharged from hospitals to nursing homes. And you can, and people are trying to hold them accountable, to the point where Representative Steve Scalise is the ranking member on the Select Subcommittee of the coronavirus crisis. He sent letters to these five governors asking them, what was the science behind your decisions? Why did you ignore federal guidelines? Tell us, because if we see a resurgence of this virus, we want to make sure we don't make the same mistakes that were made in the past. And the governors have ignored those letters to a certain extent.
Well, and the governors that don't lock down, the governors that have has had a softer approach on things, the governors that let people at least be free to do what they want to and get outside, get fresh air, et cetera, they're the states that are doing the best. And that's a lot of what the research is going to show. President Trump basically wisely saying we're not going to mandate masks. We're going to encourage them. And the science is out and up for debate. You know, for decades, they said masks won't do any good unless they're certain grade of masks. And unless you're in specific healthcare situations, don't wear them. The CO2 that you breathe out could do more damage than good. The mask gets all humidified, which then adds to the likelihood of diseases being spread or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're saying masks for everybody. And if you debate, you're a hater or you want to kill everybody or you're insensitive or whatever. And, you know, we need to step back a little bit and say, hey, wait a minute. Where is the success in the country and where are the problems in the country?
Exactly. And if I could just add to that, that governor's comment, Sam, if I could, I just wanted, if I could run some numbers by you.
Sure.
Particularly, let's take a look at Michigan because you brought up Michigan. Okay. And these numbers were included in the letter that ranking member Scalise sent to these governors. At the time when he sent these letters, which was last couple of weeks, Michigan had suffered 2,297 nursing home deaths related to COVID-19. That's more than 41% of the state's total COVID-19 deaths and more than 3% of the state's entire nursing home population. Okay. You mentioned New York. New York has suffered 6,360 nursing home deaths related to COVID-19. That's more than 25% of the state's total COVID-19 deaths. Okay, so you're seeing a disproportionately higher number of nursing home deaths in these states where the governors ignored federal guidelines and forced COVID-19 contagious patients that were being discharged from hospitals into nursing homes. And as an organization that represents older people, AMAC is working to get answers on this as well. We've, we're diligently working to hold these governors accountable.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a slight variance or an anomaly.
No,
this is just striking in your face data that gives you serious rise for concern.
Absolutely. Pennsylvania, 4,268 nursing home deaths. That's 68% of the state's total COVID-19 deaths. Why did you make these decisions, Mr. Governor, Madam Governor? Why did you do this? What logic, what data, what science, what information did you use to make these decisions? And I think the people in those states and people in America want to know why. Why did you do this?
Was it that there's money when these people die? Was it what drives it? Do you know?
You know, they haven't answered, and we're still working to get answers. And as an organization that represents Americans who are age 50 plus, our members want to know, what's AMAC doing to get answers? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're holding these governors accountable. We've activated our membership, and our members have reached out. Our members in those states, in the states of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and California, have sent thousands of emails to these governors asking them for answers. Okay, that's kind of phase one of what we're doing.
And right? Phase two, I would like to know, in the states that have the least deaths, and I know it's per population because every state's different, but Utah's one of the leaders, for example, and I want to know what they're doing right or what they've done to decrease the likelihood of death in these situations, because the opposite knowledge is just as valuable, right?
Absolutely. Absolute knowledge is power. Yes.
You know, hey, what are these governors doing here? What's happening in these nursing homes? Are they taking certain precautions that others are not taking? Are they, you know, what are they doing? Because we'd like to learn from that and take a page out of that playbook to preserve life, to protect people. That's the whole purpose of government, for crying out loud, Andy.
Absolutely. And it wasn't as if the administration, through various agencies, they did issue guidance, and it was before the lockdown, okay? It was in March, in early March, that guidance came down that was very clear. And what you have here, again, we're looking at politicization, okay? There are Democrats on this select subcommittee of the coronavirus crisis. They're in the majority. And they are circling the wagons and blaming the Trump administration for the nursing home deaths when the guidelines were clearly issued, clearly stated, and ignored by at least.
Well, and these people that have done that are the ones so critical about trying to open up the society as well. What are they thinking there? There's a tie. This ties all together with people that have certain agendas, and their agendas are becoming so blatantly clear. It is shocking.
Yeah. Well, it's shocking. And it, you know, people like you and I, it should be expected, and we do expect this. It's shocking a lot of people that are just now realizing the extent to which people on the left will politicize whatever they can in order to reacquire their power, because that's what this is all about.
And my response is set that all aside. The serious, serious crisis we face requires that we all set it aside and say we are Americans. And yes, we can solve this problem together. Yes, we can strike a balance and open up society. Yes, we can understand America and balance reopening with COVID-19 concerns. There is an appropriate balance. All municipalities and areas and states are different, and the response might be different in certain areas based on the needs and circumstances. But we can develop safe practices. We can develop wise direction. And we can take that direction and truly get past this. And these less deaths give me tremendous hope that despite all the naysayers, we are getting there, folks. Andy?
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Absolutely right. This is great news, okay?
I know we got a lot to go.
Yeah. But there's much work that needs to be done, but by gosh, how could this not be good news?
But take courage, and USMCA... and I'm not super fond of USMCA, but compared to NAFTA and GATT, it's a step forward. So USMCA and PPP, the Trump administration has accomplishments that are bringing small businesses real relief, which means, you know, businesses, when they get relief, what it really means is the people get relief, because businesses don't pay taxes. People do, et cetera, et cetera. The point is, when we benefit these businesses, it benefits everybody, Andy.
Absolutely. And what's important here, okay, America runs on small businesses, all right? And small businesses took a huge hit during this pandemic. And that's why this is so timely. And that's what makes USMCA unique, okay? Because for the first time in any U.S. trade agreement, this USMCA agreement includes a dedicated chapter to small and medium-sized businesses, all right? That support American entrepreneurs. This hasn't been done before. This is another glimmer of good news, all right? The Fortune 500 does not, they contribute to the American economy, but not to the extent that small businesses create jobs and is the generator of funding and revenue for the American economy. So, you know, you're looking at the... you're looking at states, or you're looking at businesses that were hard hit throughout the pandemic, okay? And PPP kind of bailed them out. They certainly did. Were able to keep the doors open. Many were able to keep the doors open. Some, unfortunately, have closed and may not be reopening. But they're looking, the PPP, when you're tying the USMCA, so you're looking at a provision that's dedicated to American entrepreneurs and small and medium-sized businesses. You're looking at the Trump administration and the Paycheck Protection Program that kind of threw a lifeline to some of these small businesses and provided a cushion that they needed to continue to operate during the pandemic.
And there's many reasons small businesses, the economic engine of America, one of them is jobs, but another one is that small businesses are the idea incubator of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We'll talk about that with Andy Mangione, AMAC.us, in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, back with you live. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Andy, so I say that American small business is the incubator as well, and I don't think that can be overlooked.
It always has been, absolutely. And there is an emphasis with this USMCA agreement on small businesses. Okay, some items by, if I could, Sam. If you look at the relationship between the United States and Mexico and the United States and Canada. These are two top export destinations for United States small and medium-sized enterprise goods, okay? And about 75% of exporters from the United States to Canada and Mexico have fewer than 50 employees, okay? You talk about an incubator, you talk about job creator, you talk about contributors to the economy. It's the bulk of this takes place in the small business, small to medium-sized business arenas.
And you can see the incubator point I'm making because most of these big businesses, every asset they have, was started by somebody and then it spun off and a big business kind of added that to their asset portfolio and now they run it and et cetera, et cetera. There's a gazillion examples of that. Skype is one of them. Now Microsoft owns Skype, but it was a startup. And half these startups just get spun off over time. But the incubator and the job provider of America is no doubt small business. And the PPP made a huge difference. But this is where the Trump administration, I don't really like PPP or any of these handout scenarios. But in a situation that's been unprecedented where the government's literally shut everybody down, at some point there has to be two sides to that coin. And so small businesses have been receiving relief, and I think necessarily so. But now it's time to open back up and say, hey, we've got enough information. We know what to do to be safe. Let's take the bull by the horns and get this done. All right, the United States is going to leave the WHO, or the World Health Organization, within a year?
Yeah. We gave notice, okay? In June, if I'm not mistaken, June of next year, our members really weighed in on that. That came across our desk, and we put it on our website that the United States is looking to leave the World Health Organization, but the president warned that he would do so. Okay, he warned that he would do so, and this is just a follow up. And without a doubt, you know, AMAC members, we polled our members on this issue. We talked to them. Said, would it be a good move and for the United States to do that? And the vast majority of AMAC members were in favor of the United States not funding the World Health Organization. They looked at, you know, what kind of return are we getting on this investment? They looked at the WHO's response to the coronavirus pandemic specifically, and lack of response, the fact how China has their fingers all over the World Health Organization, and they didn't see it to be worthwhile to continue to fund this. Of course, the opposition is saying that the United States funding is critical to world health, but we have been the World Health Organization's largest contributor. I think providing what $400 to $500 million in contributions. And the president had suspended that funding earlier and then made it formal that said that, hey, by July 6th of next year, here's our notice. We're going to be pulling out. It doesn't mean that we can't rejoin. I think people just, the people that are screaming and yelling about this, let's say the WHO reforms their ways. Let's say they institute some more oversight. They become truly the body that they were meant to be.
Let's say other nations step up and pay their fair share, sir.
In addition to that, how about some oversight reforms, and how about them not being controlled or influenced by China? Then perhaps we could reconsider contributing to them. But AMAC members were very supportive of the president's decision to leave the WHO.
All right. Amen to that. There's a couple of other quick stories I want to get to before the end of the hour with Andy Mangione. Socialism. After statue toppling comes book burning. And after book burning, they come for your flesh, right, sir?
Well, it's funny, it's interesting, I should say, because this isn't funny. The pattern has been established. And again, this is you're referencing another column by Bobby Charles, who's a great AMAC contributor. If you don't know about Bobby's background, Bobby was a assistant secretary of state under Colin Powell, the George W. Bush administration. He ran committees on Capitol Hill. Bobby is a wonderful resource and very well read. He's a Columbia trained lawyer and a Dartmouth undergrad. So he's, Bobby's been around since the Reagan administration when he was still.
But make no mistake, he might be an attorney and might be in those high circles in the past, but he writes to where everybody can understand. It's very well written and easy, clear stuff.
Well, yeah. And he's talking about, this is after statue toppling comes book burning. We've seen this before. And all Bobby's doing is pointing out that there's a pattern here that we're witnessing. History is indeed repeating itself. If we let it, we know we can predict what's going to come next. And I think that was the biggest takeaway from Bobby's piece. All right. After statue toppling comes book burning. We've seen it happen before, and we've got to stop it. We have the historically ignorant people that the president, his address on July 3rd at Mount Rushmore, he pointed out that some people that are doing this rioting do not know what they're doing. They're just collecting a paycheck to do it, while others know exactly what they're doing. And the attempt is to wipe out any historical reference to the United States' founding and begin again in a new socialist/communist paradise that we all know will not work and hasn't worked anywhere that it's been tried.
Amen to that. And you mentioned the speech President Trump gave, and that's actually the last headline I want to bounce off you before the end of the hour. I listened to Trump's speech. It was tremendous, ladies and gentlemen. And I highlighted and cut out six pieces of that speech President Trump gave and played the sound bites and talked about them in detail. But here's the cool part. On AMAC.us, there's an article, 10 must-see moments from President Trump's Mount Rushmore speech. This breaks it down about like I did on the radio, but it's got shorter clips that are must-see. I basically broke down the clips that I thought were the most relevant. His pro-life stance was the most relevant. His understanding of that they're trying to destroy our history, we'll never let them do it moment. The idea that we need to preserve our history, we need to reject the bad parts of history and never repeat them, but we need to embrace the good parts of history, and always keeping our historical record and reality before us is the key to doing that. Don't let those who are enemies of liberty and freedom destroy that and take that away from us. We're not going to do that. He highlighted the figures on Mount Rushmore, did a little dossier on each of them that was tremendous, highlight of their relevance to history. And then he looked forward to the future. That's kind of my summary. With that, take it away, Andy.
Sam, I think that I watched that. We live streamed the event for Mount Rushmore. I had my sons with me and my wife. We watched it on July 3rd. It was a wonderful way to kick off Independence Day weekend. And this was a very Reagan-esque speech. People are calling it the best speech of his presidency, and I think rightfully so. I think it kicked off his campaign, all right? All he has to do is compare and contrast himself to what the leftists are currently doing physically and what they're currently advocating for. defunding the police, defunding capitalism, getting rid of it, okay? The president underscored everything that makes this country exceptional with that July 3rd speech. It was inspirational. The references to God and being created equally and how sacred life is, the historical references to the people that are on that fabulous Mount Rushmore, they're just tidbits of what they did, okay? And the emphasis on preserving our history. Not all history is good, no matter where you live, but how could we learn not to repeat the bad history by ignoring it? We can't do that, okay? And embracing what's great about this country. This still is a country where people flock to because they want a better life, and they know the opportunity that exists here. You cannot have the opportunity that we've enjoyed as a nation for over 200 years without liberty. And the president mentioned that, okay? He mentioned how we vanquished global tyranny in two world wars. He mentioned the other conflicts that we've been involved in, all right? So it was just... It was fabulous, and everybody deserves to see it. I'm glad that you made reference to it. We were able to put the 10 must-see moments from the Mount Rushmore speech on our website at amac.us. And it's a nice capitalization of what happened. But it was just truly inspirational. And I'll tell you what, Sam, his speech connected the dots to AMAC's founding, okay? AMAC was founded to preserve the Constitution and preserve our liberties and to embrace them, to preserve the Judeo-Christian founding of this nation. Okay, when you go to AMAC's website, you see preserving the America you love. That's the America we're referring to, and that's the America that President Trump referred to in his speech at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd.
And believe it or not, that's the America the vast majority of Americans, some call it the silent majority, whatever you want to call it, that we support and believe in, regardless of what the belligerent mainstream press and whatever haters of liberty do, minority, the masses in America and majority support. I say majority because we're the greater population. We're minority because we don't get representation enough, especially in the mainstream press arena. But nevertheless, we all feel this way, with rare exception. And even people who might not say that publicly quietly believe that. Andy?
Yeah. No, exactly right. People are concerned. You talk to your neighbors, and you hear some talk show hosts, and I'm not counting you in them, okay? Some people say, why are people pushing back? And I think from the electorate, people will push back. And they're waiting. They will. I read a column that a quote where people will crawl over broken glass to vote in this election. Okay, I think that will happen. All right, people are upset that people that in higher positions, more visible positions, aren't pushing back and saying you've got some folks saying things on the Republican side. And people are frustrated that there should be more Republicans speaking up about what's going on in this country, the desecration. And I'm not saying that no one is speaking up, because people are. The president is certainly speaking out, but he can't do it alone. All right. I think the electorate is right there. I think people are.
Do you think Trump wins in November?
Yes, their votes. This is Andy speaking. Okay.
Yes, sure. You're not AMAC. You're Andy.
Right. On July 9th, 2020. Yeah, I do think. I think
Trump will win. My only fear is that if they commit vote fraud. Right. And my only fear is if they manipulate the truth in the media so much to where people can't get the real information, it's hard for people to know the truth.
Right.
Other than that, I think Trump will win in a landslide.
And that's an important qualification, Sam, the shenanigans that might be played.
And the only reason I bring that up is not to be negative, but I think we the people can do something about it if we're vigilant. That's the whole point.
Hear, hear.
All right, Andy Mangione, thank you so much, my friend. Godspeed. We'll chat soon, and we're grateful for the work you're doing, brother.
Thank you, Sam. My pleasure.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job. Again, AMAC, AMAC.us. I don't really even need to do anything except to point you to the website. Once you start checking it out, you'll return often, because it's a unique place for news and focus and truth-telling. And anyway, check it out. You'll see what I'm talking about, AMAC.us. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 hours in the can. 22 hours will be live again. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Let me make one thing clear. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.